Who win it now? It's another week back in here on the PODcast, the Pride of Detroit podcast. PrideofDetroit.com, part of SB Nation for all your Detroit Lions needs, NFL news, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, everything else you need to know about all those things. You can find it on PrideofDetroit.com, at PrideofDetroit on Twitter, PrideofDetroit on Facebook. Maybe Snapchat, Jeremy? We can have Snapchat?
Maybe. We'll see.
Get famous like those damn Daniel kids. Get a lifetime supply of Vans.
Hey, I like me a good pair of Vans.
I don't want all of them. That just seems weird. It is the dynamic duo in here today. It is the Kickback Lounge edition of the podcast. Jeremy Reisman, managing editor, and myself, Chris Lemieux. Jeremy, you can find him on Twitter at Detroit on Lion for his puns. And you can find me on Twitter at Malkovich Plan, which I need to add POD to that maybe, but whatever. I'm not selling out.
Selling out?
I don't know.
Just anyway, becoming part of the family, baby.
Is it?
I don't know.
I'm an outsider. I'm a loner. Whatever. Let's talk. What do we have? We have a good podcast this week. I don't know if this first segment's going to be super great. We're going to talk about a few things, but we have a very special guest. Hook Slide from Bless You Boys will be on the podcast here. Next segment, he's going to talk a little bit about Tigers, and he's also going to talk about his experience as a first-year Lions fan. First year, Jeremy, you know?
Yeah,
coming
we
in.
Hooked him in. I almost feel sorry for him that we finally got our claws into him, and he'll never be the same.
I don't feel sorry for him. Why would you feel sorry for him? Anyway, this is the week of, it is the end of February. It is right now Thursday night. We are recording on the 25th, which means the Combine has been going on in earnest, the NFL Scouting Combine. So that's it. That's your Combine coverage right there.
Come on, workouts start tomorrow.
What do you want me to say about the Combine? What do people want me to say about the Combine? Like, I am a stand for the NFL. I'll fall for all the stuff that you give me in the offseason, but don't come to me with a Combine. Don't come to me with a Combine. Like that I feel has to be a rule here. Like, the Combine is just awful in every which way. Like all the Twitter news and all the gossiping and giggling like girls and poking and prodding about things like some guy's hand size or what a guy may, like, all we always get those things every year too, the ridiculous questions you hear at, you know, the Wonderlic tests or the interviews, and they're not even interesting questions, they're just like kind of racist questions almost. Yeah. And of course, it's always like anonymous stories. And like, I think that was the best idea Jerry Jones ever had. He's like, let's make the interviews televised. Because then you know what's going to happen? Then all those racist questions are going to go.
Yep.
That guy asking about dreads. Oh, you have dreads. You must smoke marijuana. He's going to shut right up.
I didn't know that was Jerry Jones's idea, because I know one of our Twitter questions, what we'll get to later, is how do you make the Combine better? And I was going to say, like, let's see those interviews. I want to see those interviews.
Yeah. Jerry Jones. Look, if someone knows how to make a buck, it's Jerry Jones. Almost to a bad degree. Like, the NFL is fascinating on how it tries to make its money. As evinced this week when we saw... Cooking the books, man. Like, that's nothing new for the NFL, but still, it's just, it's funny. But yeah, I mean, sure, we're through most of the interviews, and Bob Quinn spoke instead of Jim Caldwell, which some people seemed irked by the fact that Jim Caldwell wouldn't speak, but I don't think you're missing anything by Jim Caldwell not speaking.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything,
no.
But I am kind of intrigued by why. Like, why didn't he speak? He doesn't seem like the type that would shy away from it. I'm just curious. I have no feelings whatsoever about him not speaking. I'm just curious as to why he didn't.
I don't care. I don't care about any of this Combine stuff. Like, the workouts are starting tomorrow and Friday, and you can't Well, you don't pay me to begin with, and you certainly won't get me to pay attention to the combine.
That's the thing, though. Now I'm the managing editor of the site. I used to just take off-seasoned off. This sort of stuff doesn't interest me at all. Measurables, you know, drills that have little to do with actual football stuff. I like football for watching football. And
sure.
The strategy of the game and all that sort of stuff. And I've never been the kind of person that builds a franchise on men. I'm just all about gameplay. I want to watch the game. I want to watch game tape. That's my thing. I'm really trying my hardest to get into this offseason, and the combine is already testing my resolve because it's just not interesting to me.
Look, I'm tolerant of it, and I will do mock drafts, and I will do all kind of draft stuff, and I will do free agency, but you can't get me with combine. You just can't. Like, that's a bridge too far. You can't get me to watch workouts and a glorified meat market. You just can't get me to do it. You can't.
It's creepy too, though, right?
Yes,
it
is
creepy. Totally creepy.
And it has some very bad connotations if you consider like where a lot of these football players come from and getting them up there in their drawers to just kind of poke and prod at them. Like, everything about the combine just feels awful. And there are some people who get way too into it because there's a whole subset of people who want to be the smart people at the draft. They want to be like every. I think you can evince this. Like, we've both been on Twitter. There are a lot of people
who there's draft Twitter. That's a thing.
They all want to talk about the draft, and this is essential if you want to sound intelligent about the draft. Because now, if some guy does something right that you like or bad that you don't like, you can reaffirm. You have evidence for your opinion that way.
Right, and let's be clear. It's not that the combine isn't important, because it is. It's a part of, you know, the evaluation.
Is it?
No, there are certain things that aren't as important as others, but I think the interview process is important. I think
that
you know, general measurements are important in terms of speed and strength and that sort of thing. It is a little bit.
Look,
it's important. It's
like,
part of the puzzle.
We have athletes who skip parts of pro day, I mean, the combine, all the time.
Sure.
And I'm all for, if they want to skip the interviews, they should go ahead and skip the damn interviews. Like, because that's the thing. Like, if you want a scout to look at you, you don't need to go to the combine no more. They'll come to you for your goddamn pro days or whatever.
That's
like,
true.
And you'll have other physicals. Like, the combine just seems unnecessary to me. But you know what? Hey, they're going to be selling tickets for it soon enough. You know, send me down. Yep. Get SB Nation to pay for me. Send me down to Indianapolis. I'll find out if it's truly the nappy or not.
Hmm? How much would they have to pay you to strap on a pair of those shorts and run the 40 for us?
Not much. I am totally without shame. Just don't ask me to take my shirt off.
Okay.
I'm still working off my gut.
You're doing the Nick Fairley workout plan right now?
By Nick Fairley workout plan, do you mean sit in front of a computer all day?
Yeah, that's basically what I meant.
Okay, sure. Eat cheeseburgers.
Any other thoughts on the combine? I think
no. I made myself just sound as angry as possible. Like, you will have some nice gifts coming out of this, like some really cool, crazy, like, feats of strength and speed. But, like, all the analysis that comes out of the combine is just utterly useless to me. And I say that, as someone who likes draft talk, but combine analysis is worthless to me. Like, reaching outside of football for a second, what was the, there was, like, a NHL draft prospect who ended up going in, like, the first top, like, five picks of the draft anyway, but he literally could not do a pull-up, like an armbar pull-up. He couldn't actually, like, do a single one of those, and everyone, you know, squawked and clucked their and everything else, and he still turned out to be a great prospect. So, like, I've got no time for this. I've got no time for this. I'm going to just, I have other things to do.
I get that point of view, and like I said, none of this stuff interests me either, but the truth of the matter is every single team sends out their biggest scouts and their biggest decision makers to this event, so it's important.
I'd rather have more senior day event type things, like the Senior Bowl. Like, I'd love to have more events like that, because they're actual football activities. That's actual football motions that you can follow, not 40 times.
But you're never going to get that because it's a risk of injury.
Okay. This was more combine talk than I thought we'd do on this podcast. But I mean, I don't know really what else to do right now. Like, there, this is a really dead period. We could probably talk about Calvin Johnson again.
Well, the truth is, things are going to heat up like right after this.
Right. Next week,
free agency starts in a couple weeks, and teams are going to start signing their own free agents right before that deadline, and we might get a decision on Calvin Johnson before then. Hopefully. For the team's sake.
We don't have one by next week. We'll do a special investigation podcast. I will strap on myself and head up to Detroit and try to find the heart of the matter and all this.
It better not involve any weird conspiracy theories about him trying to become a patriot or something stupid like that.
Yeah, that's fascinating in itself, how people are projecting. Like, it's been going on since the Super Bowl, that kind of projecting. Please don't hold the razor. Please put the razor down. This is not a visual medium. People did not see that you just menaced me on Skype with a razor.
But I don't know what you're talking about.
He's got a straight-edge razor here, just sitting there on his desk. I don't know where that came from. That's kind of horrifying.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No. We could talk about the Roy Williams trade. Which was just deemed to be one of the worst trades in for the Cowboy. What's the quantifier here for worst trade in Cowboys history? Is it just the Cowboys history? Is it the worst trade of a certain decade? Like what's?
Yeah, no.
I really need to know.
I actually saw there was one article that came out this week that deemed it the worst trade in Cowboys history, and then while kind of researching it further, I found that there was another website that had deemed the exact same thing 3 years before. So I think this is like a consensus, you know, big mar on the Cowboys history, which I'm so happy to be a part of, even if the Lions managed to squander that opportunity.
I find it always fascinating because when it comes to Roy Williams, I don't have bad memories of him. Like, I mean, I don't remember too much of his career with the Lions. I know when he was at Texas, he was a legend at Texas. Mm-hmm. At the university. And, I mean, he wasn't bad for the Lions.
No, he was actually pretty
was
damn
good. He was good.
He put up 1,000-yard seasons consistently. He put up, you know, somewhere close to 10 touchdowns a couple times. And, you know, he honestly lived up to what the Lions wanted in a number one receiver. It's just that 2008 season was a disaster, and the Lions were fire selling, and they managed to pull out a first and a couple other picks out of some guy that they had already gotten kind of first round worthy production from. So
I love that the Lions are considered the winners of this when you look back and realize they turned that first round pick they got into Brandon Pettigrew.
Yep.
And that's no shade on Brandon Pettigrew. He's just, I mean, we were talking about this before we came on here, like, can we consider Brandon Pettigrew a bust, really? When he was like a lower first round pick?
I would say no, just because the term bust to me means something different than someone who's at least hung around your team for 6 years.
Bust is Johnny Manziel.
Right. Bust is someone who you've gotten zero production from.
Sure. He
was obviously a terrible pick. Brandon Pettigrew, not a great pick in the first round, but if he was a second or third round pick,
He was disappointing. He was a disappointing pick, I think we can say there, because he just never really, he just always panned out to just be one-dimensional. And I'm kind of curious what happens with Brandon Pettigrew. Like, I feel like Bob Quinn kind of hinted, general manager Bob Quinn kind of hinted that there were going to be more cuts coming soon, I believe, that the Lions weren't done shaking up the roster.
It was kind of hard to tell because I think he was asked about whether the Lions had decided to move on from certain players, and I wasn't sure if they were talking about players that are upcoming free agents, or if he was talking about cutting more players. In my opinion, they were probably referencing just like moving on from certain free agents that have been around for a while. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Might be. Yeah, I don't know.
I just don't see why the Lions would have made all those cuts before and not included kind of Brandon Pettigrew in that group.
True. So he might be surviving. We'll see what they have.
Well, at the same time, though, like, they haven't officially cut Stephen Tulloch yet. They haven't. There's only been rumors about Ehedebo.
So, is it only Joik Bell that they've really cut at this point?
Yeah, I guess it is. Because Mathis was a retirement that obviously doesn't really count. So yeah,
you know, a bunch Bell of other guys really, who are just not going to get re-signed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could very well be in for some more cuts in the next week or two, or maybe it's just a matter of not re-signing some of the free agents.
Fair enough. Let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we are going to talk with Hookslide from BlessYouBoys.com, SB Nation blog, Tigers, your Detroit Tigers. And we also talk with him about football, too, because this was his first year as a Lions fan, and him and I have a very long conversation about football and baseball and all kinds of fun stuff. And then we'll be back to take your mailbag. All right, continuing along here on the podcast, Pride of Detroit, but we're getting outside our lane a little bit because we have a new special guest on, and we're going to be trying to hit up all kinds of special guests during the off season because it's long and it's boring and it sucks. But we have here the first of many because we love all our Detroit blogs. If you are into the Lions, you are probably into all the other Detroit sports. If you're not, I'm sorry, but you know, we're not here for your Lions. What's a good combination here? Lions, Indians, Blackhawks, whatever thing you are. We're all Detroit. We're all about Detroit, and to bring that in, we're going to talk to Hookslide from Bless You Boys, the Tigers blog on SB Nation. Don't worry, it's not all baseball. Hookslide, we need to bring you in here because you had an amazing experiment. Ooh, I can talk.
That's both,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, hi. Well, first off, hi, Hookslide. How you doing?
Hi, Chris. How you doing? It's good to talk to you again.
It is good. I went on, for those who don't know, I went on their podcast, Voice of the Turtle, way back. When was that? Like October, November?
I am probably November time frame.
Somewhere around then. The Tigers season ended earlier than anticipated, than what we've used to in the last like 4-5 years or so.
So. Yeah, it was. We were in kind of that the off season ourselves after a very, very boring regular season and said, you know, let's talk a little bit. The Lions were like kind of right in the middle of their horrible
skid
season.
So, plummet to hell.
And I know we talked about the fact that I think at that time, I'm trying to remember now, had the front office already gone through the shakeup at that point? Did we talk about that?
No, I don't.
They were real
actually,
close.
Yeah, we. It was like I think they just did. I think it like just happened. The Lions fired Lombardi, and then they got up to the front office and got rid of Mayhew and Tom Lewand and everyone else. Yeah,
because yeah, I thought we made some comparisons about how the fact the Tigers had just gotten rid of Dave Dombrowski a few months prior to that, and we're kind of in a similar situation with both teams having managers slash head coaches that everybody wanted gone, and now they both still have those managers and head coaches.
Well, for the Lions, they went completely outside. They ended up hiring Bob Quinn, but we were just at the time drawing way too many comparisons between Lions and Tigers. Like, too many for, I think, Tigers fans to be comfortable realizing that. Because Tigers fans, I don't think, want to think much about the Lions.
And they probably shouldn't. I mean, last year was kind of the anomaly, I think, in the Tigers' most recent history. I mean, they went to win the American League division 4 years in a row. Last year was just this bizarre kind of injury-riddled craziness. That was the year that was most like a typical Lions season, or at least I gather, because I'm so brand new to this whole football
thing.
Well,
let's talk about that, and I hope we haven't lost Lions fans who are now seeing you trampling on the Lions here, but you know, we sell a specific brand of Kool-Aid here, but we try to talk truth to power, too.
That is utter horse crap. I am going to tell you right now that is absolutely not true. And the story goes that this is the first season in the almost 40 years I've been on this planet. This is the first season that I ever watched any football games with any regularity at all. And it was an experiment. It was an experience at the same time. But I will tell you that pretty much every single football fan that I talked to that was like, hey, I'm going to watch the Lions this year. They all said, what are you doing? Step away. Don't come any closer. Don't ruin your life. Nobody was drinking Kool-Aid. Nobody said, oh, great. It's all going to be sunshine and roses and we're going to enjoy a trip to the Super Bowl or anything. Like, no, everyone warned me and said, go run.
Maybe it's just our commenters. I think we do that out of love.
Commenters or just live people that I know, you know, friends, family, they all said the same thing. And I went, wow, what am I getting myself into?
You're getting yourself into a lot. And I don't think many of us could have expected that to start off your proud Lions experience.
That was enjoyable.
What was it, an 0-6?
7? 0-7?
It was like one and one seven. I don't remember. And that I'm supposed to be a Lions guy. I've deep sixed that memory, those memories. I've memory holed like most of the start of the season. I just remember we went over the Bears.
That and not even by that much.
It was an overtime win.
It was supposed to be an easy win for the Lions, I think, by all the projections that I was looking at, and they barely won it in overtime. And I went, wow, these guys really are they're not good.
Well, you also got a taste of, you know, I wouldn't say same old Lions, but you got a taste of, and I hate this. I hate the hashtag Detroit versus everybody thing because it's ruined what was a wonderful. I love that brand of clothing and everything, but people are using hashtag Detroit versus everybody for the Lions now to say, oh, there's a wild conspiracy about the NFL. And then there was that Seahawks game. That was the first Detroit versus everybody of the season. Then there was another with the second Packers game.
The Seahawks game was the one with the batted ball in the end zone, right?
Yes. You've taken to the football lingo very quickly.
What else do you call it? You're right. For somebody who started, literally, I kid you not, I was sitting on my back deck in late August preparing to launch the experiment. Literally, I was reading a Football for Dummies book because I didn't know the position names, didn't know any of the I mean, I knew a touchdown was, but up until this year, I thought that a field goal and a point after a touchdown were the same thing.
Yeah, you probably knew, like, at best quarterback. But if I said, hey, there's a cornerback or there's a fullback or something, you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, I could still probably blow your mind on the idea of fullback, halfback, quarterback, and that's some kind of, you know,
and to be honest,
fractional
I still don't really know where they're all supposed to be lined up.
Well,
I've got a pretty good idea about tight ends and wide receivers, but the rest of it, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's
the guy on the field with the ball thingy throws it to the other guy at the other end of the field who tries to catch it.
So overall, I would say, what was your kind of like overall take, just, you know, first on football, I guess. Let's just start there, just on football. Like, you as a baseball guy coming in, like, what did you feel of the whole experience left and right?
Not only a baseball guy, but a guy who actively hated football. Because football always spells the end of everything that I love, namely the baseball season and also summer. I mean, ever since you know, childhood, this is summer means summer vacation. You're not going to school. As soon as football starts, man, that means there's marching bands and all that crap going on. And so I never liked it. I actively hated football. But this year I had to get into it. My daughter was getting into sideline cheer. And so I said, well, it's at some point this fall, I know I'm going to some football games. So I guess I better learn a couple things about it and, you know, watch some of the professional games and so forth. I get it now. I totally get it. I get why people love it. You know, it is a very entertaining couple of hours, mostly punctuated with DraftKings and FanDuel commercials, but still very entertaining.
Well, I think it's always been it's a very interesting mix, right? Like, why do people love the game? It's a very interesting mix of, like, I kind of think of it like, you know, that weird boxing chess thing where guys like go several rounds of boxing and then they have like chess between rounds.
Right.
It's like a weird kind of thing that happens in Europe some places. That's like that, except like everything's like blended together at once. Like, it is a combination of violence and strategy that you usually only get like buying like a Blizzard RTS or something.
Yeah, it's funny because coming from the baseball background and people, you know, I know a lot of people that say, you know, baseball is so boring. And now after having spent a full football season watching not just the Lions, I watched a bunch of other games too, right up through the Super Bowl. And I kind of go, yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of similarities in that, you know, in baseball, you are kind of you're watching mostly the pitcher and the hitter, you know, kind of duel each other. And you get these moments of excitement, like a nice spirit line drive or, you know, ripping home run, something like that, you know, to break up the monotony. It's still kind of like that in football, though, if you think about the fact that each play is like, what, 3-4 seconds long? So you're mostly watching a lot of monotonous attempted passes or short runs, you know, being broken up by long periods of trying to get back in formation and call the next play. And then every now and then you get the equivalent of that home run. You know, somebody breaks free and takes off down the field. That's like, oh, there it is. You know, but
yeah, breaks off for like a 20-yard thing, and yeah,
right,
yeah, sure.
So I saw some similarities there, I guess, in the "hey, nothing ever happens" department. It's just that in football, when they snap the ball, there is such a rush. You know, just even if nothing really happens, it's a collision.
Yeah, and I definitely there's like two sides, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not really like, oh, hey, this guy does a great fielding job, unless it's like, you know, someone laying out for a line drive or, you know, just going up Mike Trout stealing a home run or something. But like, you can really get behind defense in football.
This is the funny thing, because in baseball, so much of the playing, the play actions are one-on-one, pitcher versus hitter. When the ball is hit, a single fielder goes after it, you have time to kind of appreciate that diving stop at shortstop or a spectacular base hit knocked off by the hitter. Whereas in football, I found it very hard to even keep track of who was doing what. You try to follow the movement of the ball, I guess, but you know, people that have been watching this game for years would be sitting with me saying, oh, wow, did you see the whoever it was, you know, that tackle, that left tackle made a great play there. And I'm like, I totally missed it because I got fooled by the quarterback bluff thing that he did. And
I don't know. Do you know the term play action yet? Like
but I couldn't tell you what
it's basically when it's like faking the handoff or something to the running back. And then all of a sudden he goes back and throws it. Or
you mean those some plays other... that I got fooled on regularly?
Yes, they'd yes.
Fake
yes.
the handoff and I'd be following the guy that he didn't give the ball to.
Yes. That's even worse in real life, by the way, if you ever actually go to a football game, because it's like I've got even me. I am not a very attentive person, though. But no, I totally get it, because it's like, you know, you're talking about what? 11 guys on a given field, you're doubling, and they're all kind of spread out, versus you're doubling that and cramming them all together in football.
It's just this mass of humanity happening right in the middle of the field, and I can't tell where the ball went, who made what play. And the thing is, like I said, people that I watch the games with have obviously had more time to, you know, get used to that, and they'll be, you know, oh, that was a personal foul right there, that was pass interference or whatever, and I'm like, where did you see that? How did you see that in that swarm of jerseys that just kind of collided together in the field?
I don't think football could make it today without the technology of replay, though. Like, not even just like replay for official things, but like on a television, it's like they have the time to snap back to whatever play just happened, and you're right. Like, oh, hey, okay, now I see it.
Right, right. And that's how I learned most of those plays, because like I said, you know, oh, did you see that, you know, face mask? I didn't see anything. I just saw jerseys swarming, and then they go back to the replay. Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, he clearly punched the guy in the face, and, you know, so thank God for replay.
So on the Lions specifically, you know, did you fall in love with the guys, or is it still kind of, or is it the helmets? You just not really, you still haven't, you know, learned all the names and faces, and they change a lot. I will warn you, over the offseason, you'll come back and there'll be a bunch of different guys, like not usually the skill positions, but like, you know, defense or something might change.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard for me to follow kind of all the, obviously everyone knows Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. Those are the easy ones to remember. I think at one point there was a Golden Tate,
yep.
At some point, Ziggy Ansah was involved there. But for me to remember even what positions they play, or to be able to certainly not be able to watch and grade a performance. You know, people were arguing over the Lions season about whether Stafford was overrated and should be let go. And I know what side you're on, so don't even – I can see Chris is getting
I had,
all wrapped
I had
up,
to like, back up a little bit actually on that. Like I got pushed off my spot, but well, that's for another podcast when we're talking football-ish.
That's like, for me, that's a future podcast 3 years from now when I actually have, you know, the background to be able to. I was totally out of that conversation. I didn't have an opinion because I couldn't tell you. All I know is they were playing bad football. And for me, it was too hard to assign any kind of evaluation to any player and say, no, Stafford's good, but his, you know, wide receiver's not, or you know, his was it, offensive line, I guess you would call it, wasn't doing the job for him, that kind of thing. I don't know.
But
I
were
no
you? I guess then the next question is: are you able then see kind of like when people are saying like after they fired Lombardi, like the offense got better? But I
it
mean,
did.
Were you able to? You were able to tell then?
I was able to see the end result, but sure. I couldn't look at it and say, "Oh, clearly because they changed this play, and this play." Whereas, like in baseball, I would be able to tell you, yes,
sure.
This manager is more aggressive towards the later innings and his bullpen changes and he's doing this with the base running, that kind of thing. With football, I just saw that the end result was, you know, definitely better. Now, here's the interesting thing, though. Couldn't tell you, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 how good Matthew Stafford is. And yet, there's this gut feeling in watching other teams play, watching Cam Newton, say, you know, play and be able to say, yeah, he's definitely better, but I can't quite put my finger on why that is.
You know what? That's fair, because that's football. It's all a bunch of people using guts, and you'll have one guy who, like, played the game and can do, like, you know, draw routes. Like, that passes his football analysis. And even our stats, and I love baseball for all the stats, but, like, even our stats are still very primitive. And instead of some stats, some people like Pro Football Focus because they don't do stats, they do grades and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, we have a couple of stats, but there is nothing like what baseball can do. All right, last question. We'll talk a little bit of baseball here. Kind of two parts. First off, final end result of of the Lions and football, how you feel about both, and will you come back? And will you come back as a Lions fan, or maybe think about another team?
No, I can't come back as a fan of another team. I'm not fully sold as a Lions fan, per se. I mean,
I still got time to get out.
Yeah, I've still got time to kind of go, yeah, football was fun, but I guess I'll just walk, you know, maybe watch it recreationally a couple games a year, which is never going to happen. I can't recreationally watch that. It's got to be a kind of a every weekend thing, I think. But no, I could never see myself just sort of jumping ship and saying, oh, you know, I decided to spin the wheel. The Steelers. Yeah, that's my new team. If I'm going to be obsessed with any team, it's got to be the home team. That's just
it's got to be Detroit. It's got to be Detroit.
It's got to be Detroit. It's got to be. I could, you know, certainly never do that in baseball. I couldn't just decide, hey, I'm going to be an Indians fan. Couldn't do it. So, yeah, if the football experiment continues, it'll definitely be, you know, I'll always be rooting for the Lions. And I was rooting for them this year. It's just that they played terribly, and it became not so interesting after about, you know, half the season. Thanksgiving was fun. I mean, that was a good game. Nice to watch them destroy the Eagles that day, I think.
Yes, it was the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes. So, but, I mean, overall, you probably will be back for another year, you think?
Yeah, I think I will. There you go. Once you get started, it's kind of hard to stop. And it does definitely – look, I will say this. However I feel about football personally has little to do with any of it. It's everybody else in America loves the sport. And so I was very appreciative to have certain social channels opened up now where friends would be like, hey, do you want to come on down to the sports bar this Sunday and watch a game? In the past, I would have said, no, I don't know what I'm watching. Forget it. This year was nice to be able to say, yeah, you know,
sure.
hang with the relatives and actually watch the game on Thanksgiving. Let's, you know, do this and go to Super Bowl parties and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I will definitely be back to watch it next year.
All right, we're way over, so we're going to try to talk a little bit of baseball on here. I'm going to try to give you, like, you know, 10 minutes or so to talk on baseball and the Tigers. And hopefully, it's fascinating because I grew up with both baseball and football. Both were big where I lived in Toledo. We had the Mud Hens. We had, you know, if it wasn't pro football, like, we had two, you know, NFL teams that really catered to here, the Browns and the Lions. Both fans are, like, really big around here. For that matter, Toledo's always interesting because it has that Detroit and Cleveland confluence.
Yes.
But then you'd also have, like, a bunch of college football teams. The, you know, Michigan, Ohio State had a good Notre Dame contingent around here, too, and I grew up as a Notre Dame fan. But again, the Mud Hens are in town, the Tigers connection. I grew up with both, and that's why it's so fascinating to me when I try talking about baseball nowadays and people just, like, why are you talking about this? Please shut up. But let's, I mean, you kind of need to know about the Tigers in Detroit, I find. Like, it is definitely one of the bigger baseball towns in America. And probably part of that is because we had four really good consecutive years where we're just rolling through there. But I kind of got burned out because, and I know exactly the point where I got burned out. You're going to hate me for this, but... Okay. It was the ALCS in 2013 and the Red Sox in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was it? That was when you threw
No. What the hell is his name? It's not Pablo Sandoval, the other fat guy.
David Ortiz.
David Ortiz.
Just
yeah.
Call that fat guy.
The fat Dominican. I can narrow it down to two.
I think his nickname is Big Poppy, not Fat Poppy, but go with it.
But I mean, the problem is now Pablo Sandoval's a Red Sox, and I've been seeing his picture everywhere, so he's in my head. But it was David Ortiz, the Grand Slam, Torrey Hunter flying over the outside fence, flipping over, and that god-awful cop throwing his hands up in the air in celebration. And that's when I was just like, I'm sick.
And that
I'm
hurt your soul.
I was devastated by that, because that was probably the best, because like that series was so frustrating to me too. It's like, we are getting so close here and we just can't do it.
That whole postseason was extremely frustrating.
Yes,
because
and the offseason came too.
Miguel Cabrera had just injured himself on a bad slide into second base maybe a month before, and it sapped all of his power. And
sure.
He could still hit the ball, but it was always for singles. But those big, lofty hits that he would have would always fall short of the home run mark. And you think, man, what a time to lose your power stroke right as we're going into the postseason. And it was such a struggle to score runs, it seemed like, throughout that whole period.
And then was it that year, or was it? No, it was the next year. I remember in the offseason, the Tigers lost Scherzer.
Right.
And they started to lose that core of pitchers I really fell in love with in 2012 and 2013. You know, Pfister was gone. We basically came down to Sanchez and Verlander. So,
right. They had a monster pitching staff for many years there. 2013, I still think, was probably their best team.
Yeah, didn't go as far, but, you know, didn't have any, like, crushing of the Yankees or anything fun like that, but...
No, but when you look at, you know, just the composition of that team, and then you had the starting rotation of Verlander, Scherzer, Porcello, Sanchez...
Porcello,
Fister.
That's who I was forgetting, yeah.
Porcello was in there, Porcello, who could have been easily a number two or number three starter, maybe number three starter on other rotations, is stuff. He's your number five, and that's your worst option? Wow. And then in that lineup, you know, you had Miguel Cabrera, you had Victor Martinez, you had Prince Fielder, you had Johnny Peralta having a resurgent PED fueled season. But I mean, they were a killer team, just crushing the ball, and the pitching was dominant. And that was the year. I think that was the year they should have won it.
And they just couldn't get anything done in Boston. And it's going to haunt me forever on that regard.
Yeah. But come on, Chris. You can't say that 2013, the ALCS, that just killed it for you. And then you're I watched the Packers game. I watched Aaron Rodgers throw that Hail Mary at the end.
No, I think I you know what? If you will have it, I would like to reciprocate the favor you did for us writing that fan post. I will write a fan post about how I kind of fell out in the past couple of years with baseball, and how I'm trying to. This is why I'm bringing you on, because I want to fall in love with baseball again. I really do. I am so bored, and I don't think some of my other. And my mood changes so dramatically when football ends. Like, I am on a high for about 20 weeks or however long football tends to end from like the beginning to the Super Bowl. And I watched college as well and everything. And then it all dries up and I'm just left bereft for the rest of the year. So I'm trying to fall back in love with baseball because I have time, and I'm probably going to be in a radio booth broadcasting some Tigers games. Mm-hmm. And I just need to fall back in love with it. I miss it. I miss the numbers. I miss everything. So in that regard,
this is a good year to get back into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that in a second. I'm just saying I will reciprocate it to you, and bless you boys if you will have it. My post about falling back in love with baseball.
Just keep this in mind, Chris. And this is the thing I pointed out, you know, I think in that post, and we've talked about it when you were on our podcast. The one thing that drives me crazy about football is the small sample sizes.
Sure.
And the fact that anything can happen in one game. You know, your quarterback could be just having a weird day, you know, or something. You end up losing a game, and you don't want to judge a season based on one game. Well, the playoffs in baseball are that way. The playoffs are
crapshoot.
The Tigers absolutely were the favorite over Boston that year. They should have won it, but doggone it, it's the postseason. Any stupid thing can happen, and you can't let that
Your there's more than that. It was the whole next year too, and trying to knock on the door again, and just I got in the boat of raising my expectations. But let's talk about this year. I know the Tigers went out and got Jordan Zimmerman.
He's got two N's at the end of his name, so you have to say
Zimmerman. Okay,
make sure you get
I know they have Sanchez and Verlander, and a lot of people think this is the year that Verlander really needs to bounce back. I'm seeing him all over the place.
Right.
As far as people saying, you need to have it. Miguel Cabrera, still there. JD Martinez, re-signed. Who's the shortstop now? Is it still
Jose Iglesias?
It's still Iglesias. Okay, but fill me in here, I guess, before we talk too much about the roster, because you guys really hate your manager right now. You guys up and down are just, you wanted him gone worse than I think Lions fans wanted Jim Caldwell gone at the end of their year. Lions fans came back around and started to accept that their future was with Jim Caldwell. I don't think Tigers fans are there. They don't want any part of Brad Ausmus.
I am only going to speak for myself, and you know, certainly even at Bless You Boys, there are mixed reviews, and people are generally, you know, can be okay with the fact that he's coming back and saying, look, managers don't play that big of a role. You know, so as long as the team is good, you know, even Brad Ausmus shouldn't be able to screw it up. I'm definitely on the, you know, fire the guy train, and have been ever since 2014, his first year, and ever since the way he ruined the division series.
That's always an interesting argument. I'm sorry to cut in here, but I'm just saying that's always an interesting argument. It's like, oh, if the team's good enough, the manager can't screw it up. Have you been, like, I know enough about the Dodgers to know that Don Mattingly screws that up every year.
Well, yeah, but they, you know, again, that's like the Tigers. They've been a perennial playoff team.
Sure.
You know, so he's obviously not screwing too much up. There's not much Don Mattingly can do with Clayton Kershaw out there. You know, it's going to come down to the way your roster performs, you know, except for the case of maybe three or four, maybe five games in a season. Unfortunately for the Tigers, three, four, five games swinging either direction, wins or losses, can be the difference between we're going to the playoffs or we're not, and we're going to start Lions season early again in 2016. I want Brad Ausmus gone, and probably for the same reasons why when I saw Jim Caldwell doing what he did in the first half, I thought this guy's got to go, because there would be some decisions made that seemed stupid on the face of it. It was the press conferences. It was those damn post-game press conferences. Both Ausmus and Caldwell do it. They go out there and try to give an explanation, and you're more upset after the explanation.
Yeah, they're just mumbling up there, and they give you a whole lot of nothing. It's like,
yeah, well, how many times does Caldwell say, well, every game is different?
Yeah.
No, it's not. You're losing every game, so no, that's not different.
Sure.
Do something different.
And I think it's pointed for the Tigers, too, because you're just coming off Jim Leland, who would do the same thing, but he would do it in a very grumpy attitude and while smoking.
Jim Leland would chew up a handful of cigarettes, spit them out, you know, on fire, and then tell you to F off. And you're like, hey, respect. I respect the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. From Perrysburg, from near here in Toledo.
See, there you go. And Brad Ausmus goes out there, and he's very condescending and very patronizing in his responses. And he gives responses that just make even less sense than, you know, there was one game in particular where he had a good pitcher on the bench in Alex Wilson late in the game, and he did not use him. He used a much worse pitcher in Neftali Feliz. When the Tigers were ahead, I think 8-6 late in that game, and Feliz gave up a grand slam, blew the lead, they lose the game. Somebody asked him in the press conference, Brad, why didn't you use Alex Wilson? You had a better pitcher on the bench with the team having the lead. And he said, I was saving him for extra innings.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Dude, you weren't going to extras. You were going winning the game. You used the better pitcher.
I love baseball logic like that, because there's still those guys who just, like, it baffles your mind. You have all these numbers in the world, and you're still going on, like, old school mentality.
Yes, that is exactly the kind of scenario where when the move happens and you don't make that play, I think, man, that was a really dumb thing to do. And then once he opens his mouth, now you're sure it was a dumb move. Mm. Now you are absolutely convinced. You're an idiot.
And if I remember, he was brought in because he was supposed to be a smart guy open to analytics. And he's been...
Nope. That was a fan misconception from the start. Everyone said, oh, a Dartmouth-educated young guy. He's going to be open to sabermetrics and all this. He went on Tiger Talk in January of that year before the season even started and openly said, people think I'm into sabermetrics, but I'm really not.
Ugh.
People think that because I'm young, but I got to tell you, I'm an old school baseball guy. So he dismissed that right from the outset.
Well, let's talk about the rest of it. I'm not going to be able to get down to spring training. Maybe I might get up to Comerica. We took some, I haven't been to a game in Comerica yet. It's a wonderful state park, I've been told, though. But let's try to stay on the roster here for the last few minutes we've got. So, like, what do you see with this roster? Like, what's going to come out of here? I know you guys have a mailbag up about the fifth starter and every other kind of little minutia thing. But what's kind of the big names that we're looking at as far as position and some of the pitchers that people need to know jumping in here? Because we got spring training now and then very soon regular season.
Right. April 5th, I think, is when they actually start playing. So you got about a month, you know, a little more than a month. And the thing is, people say, who's coming in on the roster? And there were, I think, nine new guys added. Almost a third of a 25-man roster was added. And I'm not even really worried about the new names. I think the big thing to watch this season is the resurgence of the old names, is the fact that Justin Verlander is going to have his first healthy season in like 2 years. Miguel Cabrera is going to have his first fully healthy season in 2 years.
Iglesias used to have a lot of injuries too, right?
Iglesias missed all of 2014 with shin splints, I think they were calling them.
Right, yeah.
So he was out. Stress fractures, I think, is what they ended up deciding. Of course, Victor Martinez was, he had that knee surgery before the season began last year. So he spent all of 2015 limping and weak. He's going to be back fully healthy. I think just the addition of these guys being healthy again is going to make this team look completely different than what we saw last year. Forget about the new names coming in. Just having the old crew back up to 100% is going to be massive.
Speaking of new names, two I want to bring up. I'm looking at Anthony Gose. I don't know that name.
He came in last year, actually.
Okay.
He was traded in the offseason last. They gave up Devon Travis, who went to the Blue Jays, and proceeded to mash for them until he got injured.
Am I reading this right, that Cameron Maybin is back on the roster? That is a blast from the past.
Yes, it is. Maybin was traded in, what, 2007 in order to get Cabrera?
Cabrera, yeah, yeah.
And did some kind of hop, skip, and jump around to different teams.
I thought he was still playing for San Diego.
No, he was with the Braves, actually, last year.
Braves, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I think I've got that right.
Yeah, and I know Ian Kinsler. I know he's a big guy for them. Mm-hmm. Real quick, catcher, James McCann. This isn't the same McCann that, like, stops people at home plate, is he?
No, that's Brian McCann.
That's Brian McCann. Okay.
He's with the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I remember him with, like, the Braves and the Yankees being that really stodgy guy who's, like, defend the rules, and I just hate all that. So
I can't stand him. No, James McCann is
no relation.
Not that I know of. No.
Well, McCann's a fairly common American last name, so sure.
James McCann came up from Toledo last year, played his first full season with the Tigers last year, and is quickly establishing himself as, I think, the catcher of the future. So he'll be another fun one to watch kind of develop this year and next year.
Oh, that's right. They got rid of Avila. They did, didn't they?
They did. So. I mean, they had to, right? His dad took over as the general manager. He wasn't going to stick around.
That's always fun.
Nope, Alex Avila went to the White Sox.
So real quick before we get out of here, then, just looking at the baseball prospectus and they're projecting wins on here. Like the Central, the American League Central, which is where the Tigers are, for those who don't know, all kinds of weird. And I remember I thought I saw like Cleveland was projected with the highest for like 34 wins above replacement over like 31 for the Tigers and Royals. Baseball Prospectus has Cleveland taking the division by 92 wins. And the next closest would be the White Sox with 82. Detroit's down in fourth with 78. And the World Series, the champion defending Royals are dead last at 76. So am I supposed to believe the numbers, even though these are supposed to be the smart guys who crunch all this?
No, not really. The computer projections, the models that they use are really more for individual players, and they tend to be much more accurate on that score. It's when you try to kind of aggregate it all together and turn it into a team total that things start to kind of fall apart for some reason.
So, which is where that gets interesting, because it's the complete exact opposite in football for some of the stats. Yeah. Like DVOA and is like really good for telling you what's the best offense in the league, but like if I use it to look at wide receivers, it might not look as hot.
It's an interesting little differential there, I guess, that once you start to aggregate the numbers, there can be little differences here and there that add up and end up kind of skewing everything. But obviously I don't think the Kansas City Royals are going to finish last in the Central.
I don't think
the Tigers are going to finish with 78 wins. That's only what, four more wins than they had last year? Come on. You brought in nine new roster guys. You've got half the core of the team that's going to actually be healthy, and they're only going to win four more games? No.
But it is going to be a struggle in the Central, right? Like, I know I've heard of people. You don't think so? You don't think Cleveland, with their pitching staff, they're not going to?
Well, the pitching staff is exactly why the computers love them, because computers love strikeouts, But the fact is the Cleveland Indians struggled last year, and I think will struggle this year to score any runs to back that up.
Sure.
And pitching can be lights out, but unless they're going to throw shutouts, your team's got to score runs.
And I just don't see any world where the White Sox are good, but I'm not used to the White Sox being good, except like one time in history.
Good pitching. But again, they're lacking on the offense side. So if I see the Central stacking up, I say it's going to end up Tigers with around 90, 91 wins. Oh, yeah, I think they're favorites. The Kansas City Royals will finish second, but they're going to be close with maybe 89, 90 wins.
Think they steal a wild card or something?
Probably. probably one of those two teams, I think, gets the wild card. And I'm okay. giving Detroit the slight edge there. And then it'll be like Cleveland, Chicago, Minnesota in some fashion after that.
Yeah, the remains, sure. Well, Hookslide, thank you very much for coming on. We've gone well over the limit, so we'll try to get back to – we'll have you back around some other time again to be sure. Because
come back during football season.
Yeah, sure, to talk about your football or football experience or something. We'll get you on for, like, the preseason or just check in wherever the Tigers are at because, God help us, it's a very long season and I'm going to remain in my depression until football is back. But maybe now, this will be a methadone for me.
Before we end this session, I got to ask you – because I know nothing about football, right? It's my first time through the season. Even as the offseason is kicking off and you got the changes up in upper management and so forth, do you think the Lions are going to be any better this coming season than they were last?
That's a good question. And
give me your gut. Yes, no,
they'll maybe. Be better, but everyone's saying it's playoff or bust for Jim Caldwell. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because...
At all? Not even as a wild card?
No. Well, first off, I don't like... I don't, because I think there's two really good teams in the NFC North, and one of those is, like, it's not just Green Bay versus everyone else. Minnesota will be better next year, and between those two, and, like, the Lions need to reload a little bit. This just is, it's not going to be their year to get back there. I know people are saying playoffs are bust for Caldwell. I think they can do better, and they certainly won't have an O and whatever start right. for the season, but it won't be, they'll be above 500. I think
so
that's.
Should
that's,
I watch next year?
I think you should have some fun next year. You'll have some young. Like, there's the possibility still of Calvin Johnson retiring, and
yeah,
but
saw that.
Other than that, like, I think Stafford will still be fun. The defense will probably get better. Ziggy Ansah is going to be kind of fun to watch still, and you'll see some interesting touchdowns, I think, out of Matt Stafford and, like, some of the younger guys. Could bore you with names, but our listening audience already knows all those names, so
right.
I have to inform you off air. So
that's fine.
Hookslide, no, thanks for
as long as I don't care if they lose, as long as it's entertaining, I'll watch.
That's my theory, too, and that's why I watch Lions football, because they always find some weird way to lose, right. even when they're not winning. Hookslide, thank you very much for coming on here. We are way over. This is going to consume half the podcast, so thank you for stopping by.
Then my apologies to your listeners in advance. Thanks, Chris. It was fun being on. Hope to talk
All
to
right.
you again.
We're taking a quick break here, and when we come back, we will get to the mailbag. We love the mailbag. Okay, we're back. We went way long there with Hookslide, but that's okay because I love him to death, and we love talking that segment. Very enlightening on two sports, including one that barely has Jeremy paying attention.
I'll be better this year, maybe.
Maybe, he says. Oh, and by the way, we might as well throw this out here. If you want to review us on iTunes, go up and look for Pride of Detroit on iTunes and leave us a review. We have 11 ratings there. We are 5-star. Awesome. We're great. And we have 3 written reviews. We should probably read a couple of them here because we've promised people shout outs and we haven't done them. So do you want to read these or should I, Jeremy?
I don't have them pulled up at the moment,
okay.
so why don't
okay.
you go for it?
The Ruggernaut gives us 5 stars, best lion show on the planet. These guys are great. Big Bears fan and huge Jeremy Reisman fan. Well, we don't want a Bears fan here, but if you guys are listening, if you guys aren't listening to these guys, a Lions fan, then you are living right life wrong. Fix your life.
Speaks the truth. What can I say? For a Bears fan, he's got his head on straight.
4 stars from Samurai Sword Salesman. Good podcast. Long-suffering Lions sports fan and daily reader of Pride of Detroit blog at SB Nation. This podcast is a nice supplement to the blog, and I enjoy listening. And then Norman, 5 stars. I am just here for my shout-out. Well,
you got it, buddy.
You got it. He also says, we own the Bears, several times in capitals.
We own the Bears.
Which is good. Let's get to the mailbag. There's always fun stuff in the mailbag. As always, drop your questions to @PrideToDetroit or @MalkovichPlan on Twitter, or look for the Ask POD posts up on PrideToDetroit.com every day before we launch into our podcast. We should probably do that a specific day of the week, but we are always over the place when we drop these podcasts, so kind of hard to do. But let's get to the top of it. Zack Snyder, @ZackSnyder on Twitter, asks, Why does Calvin want out from the Lions so badly? I'll hang up and listen. Shout out Zack Snyder. He runs Detroit Jock City over on Fansided, and he's just yanking our goat.
Zach, good luck on Batman vs. Superman, because it looks like it sucks.
I think it'll be all right. I think they've lowered the expectations so far that it's just going to be awesome. So, let's see here. Beast F Ball at Beast F Ball asks on Twitter, "Why does Alex Reno work for you? He's weird and awful. Fire him right meow."
Oh, Beast, you are such a silly guy. Him and Reno, they're mortal enemies, yet I think secret lovers.
Josh Emery on Twitter, at MMA Josh, what's the podcast name in iTunes? It's Pride of Detroit.
Pride of Detroit.
Well, let's get to the actual serious questions here. Matt, I can't say your last name, Matt. At Matt Kozlarik, M. Kozlarik on Twitter asks, what's the best Lions uniform of all time? And then he shows his own, which is like those 90s uniforms with Barry Sanders. And that very big neck brace thing on, God, what's his name?
Schlesinger?
Is that Schlesinger?
That's a lineman, 73. I don't know who that is. Anyways, I love the solid silver helmet, which isn't in either of these pictures, but definitely kind of the throwback, like simple blue and silver, solid silver helmet. The Thanksgiving throwbacks, my favorite.
I'm kind of a stan for all things like 80s and 70s-ish in the uniforms when they were like kind of like perforated mesh and they had those like oversized pads and giant sleeves. So something like what Billy Sims wore, like that appeals to me. And I also like Billy Sims also had kind of lighter blue numbers in there. It was like actually, that might just be that picture. But no, I think like Billy Sims era is like the jerseys I really like.
That's fair. I think in general,
they're about the same as the 90s, but like just certain small touches to it is what I like.
That's where the difference is made in the little details.
Yep. Let's go to questions from our article. What is Big Haircut asks, what is the most fun video game sport and what is the least fun? I don't know about least fun, but you know what? I'll let you go first here, Jeremy.
Okay. My favorite is NHL. I thought they've done an amazing job ever since they kind of switched over to the dual joystick system of one working the body, one working the stick. It's felt like I've even felt like me, I play roller hockey, and I feel like it's made me a better roller hockey player somehow, which I'm sure is not backed up by any sort of statistical data, but it seems kind of real to me, and it seems like those games reward actual like sports intelligence to me more than anything. It feels more realistic and like more strategic, I guess. And then in terms of least favorite, I've never enjoyed a basketball game, and maybe it's just because I don't enjoy basketball, but I think the last basketball game I played was for the Sega Dreamcast. And the only thing I can remember about it is, well, there's two things I remember about it. One is you had the way you shot free throws was the most frustrating thing in the world. You had to like hold both triggers at the exact same pressure to like get your accuracy down and then hit A. And then the other thing I remember is I had those like little memory cards with video in them. So like you hit a three or slam dunked it, it would say like boom shakalaka or from way downtown, like some sort of NBA Jam term on the little screen.
I also have not played a lot of basketball games. I've been meaning to get to an NBA 2K game at some point, but I think last time I played a basketball game, it was on the Genesis, and it was either Lakers versus Celtics or it was Arch Rivals. And I remember Arch Rivals because you could punch people on the court.
What? I don't know what that game is, but that
it was fun. Great. It's actually I guess it was Mega Drive, but whatever. Mm-hmm. No one's counting. My favorite games are baseball games. Like, I grew up with, like, RBI Baseball and, like, Baseball and Game Boy and, like, all those, like, Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis baseball games. Like, I loved them all. And I really enjoyed... I haven't had a console since the PlayStation 3, but when I had PlayStation 3, I loved MLB The Show. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really vouch for it too much on the batting mechanics, but that's because I would just always play a pitcher. Because that's the part of baseball that fascinates me. I can't remember if I said that with the hook slide or not, but I always am fascinated with the pitcher in baseball. That's like my favorite thing, so I always just played a pitcher in MLB The Show, and I always found that to be like my favorite part of that game. I would say least favorite. Actually, you know what? I've got some least favorite. Golden Tee. Golden Tee can fuck right off and die.
Oh, man. What are you supposed to do at the bar when there's no girls to talk to?
Go find another game. Not Golden Tee.
Oh, man. I don't know. I like any sort of arcade game that's centered around a big rolly ball.
Over a trackball?
Yeah. Give me some centipede. Out of here. Give me some bowling games. I love that shit.
I don't know you. I haven't played FIFA either. Like, we're all okay on Madden and everything, but, like, I mean, I'm okay on Madden.
I'm convinced if I ever went down the FIFA rabbit hole, I would enjoy it as much as everyone seems to enjoy it.
Maybe. We'll see. We've got a few questions here. We'll just kind of make this a generic one about improving the combine. What would we do to improve the combine? You know what I'd do? I'd probably just make them all run through fire or over, like, pits of snakes. I would turn it into, what was that old Atari game? Was it Pitfall?
Pitfall,
yeah. Yeah, I just turned the whole combine into Pitfall.
How about most extreme elimination challenge?
Or I just put in a football game, you know?
Yeah, but like I said, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do anything crazy because they don't want to risk injury.
No, you could blow out your knee running a 40 time, too. Whatever, I don't give a damn.
The thing is, if we're just talking measurables, you're not going to make the combine that much more interesting.
No, but here's the thing. Like, I don't understand why we need to make the combine interesting. It's like the NFL created a market where there didn't need to be one. It's like, look, we have this thing. We will televise it. Now, how do we make it interesting? I'm like, well, you don't. It's a combine. It's not a freaking...
This is the NFL, though.
Any television event.
Any event is now newsworthy and interesting to people so crazed about the sport that they have to dress everything up now.
I don't know, man.
They'll never do it because they have enough trouble with the Pro Bowl. But
have some goddamn self-respect. That's the one thing the NFL doesn't do well is self-respect.
No, they don't have any.
No, they don't. Got to get them bucks. Where were we? Did you have any other suggestions there?
I don't think so. I mean, other than, as I mentioned before, I want to see these interviews. I want to see the looks on these prospects' face when we're talking about their hairstyle or if they'd rather be a cat or a dog or anything like that.
Okay. Let's see here. Big Blue Silver asks, if free agent begins and Calvin still hasn't made a decision, would that be a small disaster?
I guess I don't really think the term small disaster really even makes sense, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I know the Lions are playing it very cool right now, but if they still don't have an answer and free agency started up, like, what do you do?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal in terms of cap space. I mean, the Lions would get $11 million extra.
Sure.
Which is significant.
No,
but
small change.
Right now, they're in 11th. In terms of cap space, they'd bump up to 9th if they got that $11 million. So in terms of cap space, not that big a deal. The bigger deal is obviously working out your roster for 2016.
Sure.
Without, you know, a Megatron-sized hole in your roster is nothing to ignore. But the truth of the matter is the Lions should be addressing this whether he retires or not.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to stick around for 3-4 more years if he sticks around, which, let's be honest, I don't think any of us really thinks he's going to stick around, but even if he does, it's going to be for a year, maybe two.
Yeah, so, like, the waiting game is just driving everyone crazy, I think that's... Right.
But yeah, I mean, in honesty, you just got to plan for it whether he's going to retire or not.
Okay. Underdog has a football question for us. Fullback or extra roster spot? the fullback has been kind of a dying breed in not even just the NFL, but like all of football. Like, I know Northwestern has like done away with it completely, and now they have something in there called a super back, which is like a combination of like a fullback, a tight end, and like a slot receiver that they have. That's like a really interesting thing. I need to go look up some of the stuff from Pat Fitzgerald does over at Northwestern. But on the other hand, Lions did get Michael Burton a couple of touchdowns this year.
Yeah,
and he does do that counter block it on the power run game.
The sad, because I don't really think there's a need for a fullback in this era of football. But the sad reality is Michael Burton's been one of their best run blockers on the team. He's a talent that at this point the Lions shouldn't really be getting rid of and need to do what they can to kind of maximize it, whether that means kind of lining him out in a tight end role, which seems like a terrible idea on paper now that I just brought it up.
But he seems to get in those like short yardage goal line stand situations. That seems to be like where he starts to use some of it, but otherwise, yeah, he's just a blocker.
Right, and I think he only got in on like 22% of offensive play, so it's not like if the Lions decide to keep him on the roster, they're getting a ton of you know, play out of him. But he's also there on special teams, I believe. And
it's not like if Michael Burton gets hurt, we're like, oh crap, we need to go find another fullback.
Right.
No one's saying that. There's no backup fullback to Michael Burton going to be on this roster.
Right. They could probably pull Emil Iguanagu.
Gesundheit.
That was a guy he was in a battle with in camp last year, and I don't believe he landed anywhere else. So, you know, I don't know why we're talking about backup fullbacks right now.
Yeah, we've gone way off the rails. Sean Sweeney asks, we need a center. Will our Lions be in the market for Alex Mack? If so, should we still draft offensive line in round one? I didn't even realize, like, I'm not ready to start guessing what we're going to take in round one. I'm really not. Like, I know defensive interior lineman is like the biggest thing in this draft right now, or like just in defensive lineman in general. And there's a couple of good offensive tackles, but don't set your sight on one thing being the end all be all. Like, because that's how you get mad, right?
Sure.
Like, that's how you get mad because the Lions didn't take the one that you wanted. And that's how you talk yourself into screaming same old Lions and waiting 20 minutes to get on the air with 97.1 or whatever you want to do to pass the time.
Sure. So. But are you ready to give up on Travis Swanson?
You know me. You know that I believe that a center is really important to a football team. Mm-hmm. Like, I consider a center to be almost not as important as a quarterback, but like damn near close to that kind of importance. Like, a center is, if you have a good center, you will go places with your offense because your center is going to be the anchor of that offensive line and calling out the coverages and everything else. And, like, to me, it was pretty damning when I heard, like, Stafford taking up calling coverages, because then that's kind of like saying, yeah, you don't know what you're... Like, I don't know. Like, I really... Like, I know you guys look at a lot of the Pro Football Focus grades, whereas I just kind of look at more Football Outsider unit grades and everything. I mean, stats, not grades. So, I don't know. Like, Nick Swanson, how many years are left on his deal?
He was drafted. This will be his third year.
Yeah, he's still in the rookie. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. But at the same time, like, I don't really know what the solution is going to be, the quick fix solution. But granted, I also don't think that looking into next year, the Lions are going to be going many places far either, but we'll see. Like, I just think that's reality of the NFC North. Like, the Vikings are going to probably be the best team in that division next year, and the Packers will still probably in play. Like, you kind of wince at me, but I mean, that defense is going to get better.
I'm not trying to take anything away from the Vikings. I just, even though the Packers technically didn't win the NFC North last year, I feel they basically did. They went further in the playoffs, and I just...
Only because of a kicker.
Sure.
Well, come on, give me that.
In the Vikings' case, yes, but the Vikings weren't going to make it past the first round anyways. Or past the second round, I should say.
Right, but neither did the Packers.
Bringing it back to Travis Swanson.
Alex Mack. I mean, this whole idea of Alex Mack, I guess, because you're not going to have Ramirez, so.
Right. But if you're signing Alex Mack, which, first of all, is going to cost a ton of money.
A lot.
Let's be honest. He's going to be your starter. And I'm just not ready to give up on Travis Swanson. If we're making all these excuses for all these other Lions players under the Lombardi offense, why is Travis Swanson not part of that?
Yeah, I guess I want some competition in there for him.
Sure.
But
will definitely need to get that sort of depth, that guy that can probably play multiple positions like Ramirez can. But
right.
you're not paying, you know,
top
huge
dollar
contracts to a guy like Alex Mack or anything like that at this point. You need to fill out the roster everywhere, and I don't know if the Lions can really afford a huge contract on anybody in free agency.
I'd rather draft a center, but I don't know if I'd have to go look at centers in this draft. I don't think there's any good ones. You might have to wait another year with Nick Swanson experience before deciding on the future.
Travis.
What? Oh, I did that thing again. Okay. We don't need to linger on it. Let's move on. The LPC doesn't really have he's got some questions. Nothing here really sticks out. I just want to shout out to him because he says here, I would like to recommend a show called Luther. It's a British cop show starring Stringer Bell. starring Stringer Bell. You know, the sad thing is, the LPC, I'm not trying to make fun of you. There's a lot of people that do that to Idris Elba. Like, he will forever be Stringer Bell. Like, he will be no one else.
But his career's blowing up now. I feel like at this point, he's got a lot.
Oh no, he's done a lot. He's done a lot. Don't get me wrong about that. He has done a lot, but I think he's going to forever be known as Stringer Bell.
True.
Like it's just one of those things.
But Luther's pretty legit. The first two seasons, I kind of gave up after two seasons because they got rid of the redhead chick, which I don't remember her name, but her character was pretty interesting and fun to watch. But then I think they ended up bringing her back, but by then I was out.
CB Russ asks, would you rather fight a tiger or...
It.
What? Yeah, I've been getting it for a while. Would you rather fight a tiger or a bear?
Ooh. I don't know. I'm just coming off of seeing The Revenant about a month ago. You're going to have a hard time convincing me to pick bear in this situation.
No, I'm taking the bear.
Yeah?
Bear's dumb enough that you can convince it. Because Leonardo DiCaprio survived that. Because bears are dumb enough you convince them that you're dead. A tiger will stay and eat you.
Hmm. Well, the tiger's definitely got speed on its size. But, like, I don't know. Bear's just, like, a humbling figure to me.
No,
I might be able to outrun it, but if I'm like in the actual fight, I got no, like, that bear's got a ton, like literally a ton on me.
No, but tigers are just as strong. Like, that's the thing too. Like, they might be a little, like, bears might look a little bigger, but those tigers, that's like a lean, mean killing machine. Like, that is made to kill things. Like, you don't want no part of a tiger. Did you see that video? Was that in India somewhere where, like, it wasn't a tiger, but it was like a leopard?
Something
or a panther
got loose or something?
No, it was like a university, and all of a sudden this, like, leopard like crashed through a fence and got caught in the courtyard with all these students just wildly flailing around. It might have been a tiger. I don't remember. It was some large cat, and it was just very, very angry, and it was like just randomly swiping at guys between trying to run away. It was very confused.
And that's why I hang around people that are slower than me, because just in case, I don't need to be the fastest, just faster than the slowest guy.
Okay, one more from let's go back to Twitter real quick. I had one on my personal one at Malkovich Plan. Oliver O'Brien at Ollie_ODEA. Sorry, I'm butchering that. Who do you not want to see drafted by the Lions, aside from non-position needs? I really don't care. I really don't. Like, here's the thing. Like, just like I'm not getting bound up in, like, saying we need a Lions need a certain position filled in round X, I'm just not going to freak out like depending on a certain guy. Like maybe some years there might be a couple guys like Johnny Manziel. Like, yeah, sure, I don't want to see my Lions draft Johnny Manziel, but there's no one really like that in this draft.
Do you have a strong feeling, because this is definitely, I'm sure, a polarizing guy on Khemdiche?
I was about to say, I'm sure if Alex Reno was here, he would say no on Robert Khemdiche. You did, like, Robert Khemdiche would definitely be on his list. I don't care as much about Khemdiche. I think everyone screaming about his character issues is wildly overblowing it, but whatever, I'm not going to. The character thing is always fascinating to me, because it's always fun to see, because we're in the midst of that right now, right? Like, it's more offensive to us that Johnny Manziel is constantly getting drunk than he is beating his girlfriend. And we're completely ignoring all these allegations about Peyton Manning that may or may not be true, but no one's even bothering to look into them right now. Like, the NFL media has just successfully shouted them down, saying, this is not important. Like, that we're just going to now be the arbitrators of saying what is and isn't important about something that we've never really... Like, the character issues thing, I see people talk about it all the time, especially since, you know, it's always around the line saying, well, we want high character guys, and people take that as gospel. Look, if you could get name redacted, number 88 for the Indianapolis Colts, on your squad tomorrow, you would have him. We're not going to say his name. We don't want his attention, but I'm just saying, like, that's what we're talking about here. Like,
well, and then there's also the issues, like, you never really know how bad the character issues will get, because, well, you know, there are players out there that, you know, they've had incidents in their past and they've moved on from them. And
sure,
been...
sure. Great example, Michael Vick. People still hold it over Michael Vick's head. Michael Vick, since the dogfighting incident, has been one of the better people in the world.
Right.
But people, like, Steelers fans were freaking out about the idea of him coming to them, and they will defend Ben Roethlisberger in the same breath. Figure that one out for me. Like, people who complain about character issues, like, I just feel like most of the time, like, we do this a lot in sports. We just end up hypocrites. So, Ollie also has a second question here. Oliver, I'm sorry. Also, on the off chance that he slips the Lions' compensatory pick, Vernon Adams in the third for backup competition behind Stafford. Vernon Adams, if I remember, is like 5'11", so no on Vernon Adams.
Yeah, I'm not deep enough into my draft studies, since it's still 2 months away. Let's just remind everyone, it's still 2 months away.
Sure, sure. We'll definitely have more talk on that, and there's some other options. I feel like I'm actually really big on the and this is my Mac fan showing, but I'm really big on Matt Johnson, quarterback from Bowling Green State. He will probably be available in the later rounds. Like, that could be interesting, but...
That's the one thing I'll say, is that I'd be surprised to see the Lions go quarterback in the first three rounds.
Unless you just say, first three, to be sure.
Yeah.
I do think Dan Orlovsky could potentially get the boot.
He could, but if I had to put money right now, I'd put him on
John Cena!